questions this morning. That's where we start. Galatians chapter 6. Actually, perhaps Galatians chapter. Yeah, Galatians chapter 6, verse 5. Galatians 6, 5. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you have given your life for us. No man took it from you. You laid it down. You were given that authority from the Father. And we thank you for laying down your life for us. We do thank you for giving and giving and giving again. And God, all for all who know you, that certainly is our experience. And Lord, I praise you this morning. And once again, I'm asking for that giving. I just ask you, Father, for the filling of your Spirit, that you would help me to minister the word to these dear people here this morning. Please also fill my dear wife with your blessed spirit as she relays the message and sign. Be with those in the nursery, fill with thy spirit, dear God, and help in the caring for the children. Thank you for the word that's gone forth in the adult Sunday school hour, in the children's Sunday school hour already this morning. We thank you for the grace that you've given us to learn your word, the strength that you give us to grow, the hope that you give us of heaven, your presence with us daily, and here with us in a special way as we meet together in this church. And Father, I pray that you'd help your people this morning, that the church would be edified, that we would go stronger. And dear God, that we would glorify your name and be the witnesses of your power and of your love. That you would want us to be. Please help us in that, we pray, and we ask these things in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. Some messages. People may wonder if they're practical for all. Not this one. This message, I know we all need it. Matter of fact, you all came here with something this morning. And you'll likely leave here with something this morning. And what am I talking about? I'm talking about burdens. Talking about burdens. We all carry them through life. And we see this morning, we're going to look at the Bible and your burdens. The Bible and your burdens. What do we do with our burdens? Job chapter 5 and verse 7. Yet man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. You ever watch a fire and hear that pop? You know, you're maybe roasting marshmallows or camping out or maybe even burning some trash out in the back, and you hear that pop, and what happens? The sparks, what? They fly up. Fly upward. Job 14:1, man that is born of a woman is of few days and full of trouble. There's always going to be burdens to bear. And that certainly is the case. And so we learn, first of all, here we saw in Galatians 6:5, first of all, that everyone must bear his own burden. Everyone must bear his own burden. And we'll look at that. We see that we must bear the burden of our work in life. We must bear the burden of our work in life. In 2 Corinthians 5:10, the scripture says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." For every believer, We are each going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. According to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we will either be rewarded or we will lose rewards. We'll see our rewards burn up. But each one of us must stand individually before Jesus Christ. And there are not our salvation, but our works will be judged. Our salvation is settled. Jesus took care of that. Amen. And but now, then, at that judgment seat of Christ, it is the life that we lived for Jesus that will be judged. That verse says there in 2 Corinthians 5:10 that we receive, everyone will receive the things done in his body. I'm not going to receive the things that were done in your body. You're not going to receive the things that were done in my body. We're each going to stand alone at the judgment seat of Christ. I love the message this morning in the Sunday school hour, how that we work together as a church. And I love coming to church. I love being in the house of God. And I love the fellowship that we have with God's people. It's kind of like a little bit of heaven on earth to me when we gather here together with these like kindred spirits, and when we work together and we pray together and we sing songs of praise. It's a bit of heaven on earth. And we do learn in the Bible that we are laborers together with God. And that is a wonderful thing. And we're thankful for that. But listen, at the judgment seat of Christ, God, Jesus Christ, is not going to be judging what your church did in the world. He is going to be judging what you did in your body and what I did in my body. And I can't stand for you, and you can't stand for me. That is a burden or responsibility that we must bear. I must answer for my life. You must answer for your life. You see, it won't be what did your church do in the world. It will be, part of it will be, what did you do through your church? How did you minister? What the opportunities that God gave you, did you let God work through you? It won't be what did your church give to missions. It will be what did you give to missions? Did you give what God called you to give to missions? It won't be what did your church do to spread the gospel and to be a witness in your neighborhood. It will be what did you do? What did I do? You see, God will be judging us individually. We'll be bearing our own burden there. And my job as a preacher is to prepare God's people for that. Amen? And to let us know what's coming. We shouldn't be surprised at what's going to happen at the judgment seat of Christ. We're going to be judged individually for what we did in our bodies. What did you do? What did I do with the opportunities and blessings that were given to us? Did we use them for God's glory? You see, many people go into a large church and they find a place to hide. That's probably why some people, I'm sure at least, don't return to this church. Because it's such a small church, you just can't hide. And I'm sure that I have no doubt there are some that don't return to our church for that reason. But the fact is, at the judgment seat of Christ, I don't care if you're in a church of 5 or 50,000, there won't be one person hiding from Jesus. We'll all be standing there when our time comes, giving account for what we did in our own body and for our own works. And we ought to be judging ourselves now. You know, the Bible says if we would judge ourselves, what? We should not be judged. And we ought to be asking ourselves, are we planting? Are we sowing? Are we reaping when we have the opportunity to do that? Are we serving God when those opportunities come our way? Because that's what's going to be judged at the judgment seat of Christ. And we ought to be looking at that. I think about Jesus when he had risen from the dead and he taught his disciples for 40 days on the earth after he was risen. And we read about one of those times in John 21 where he comes on the beach and they're out there fishing, and he calls them back in, and He encourages them once again to go fishing for men and not just fish. But during that conversation, that campfire there in John chapter 21, Jesus had showed Peter that he was going to have to actually become a prisoner for the Lord Jesus in his life one day. He said, one of these days, men are going to come and carry you away, Peter, where you didn't want to go. And then you know what Peter said to Jesus? Peter said to Jesus, he looked over at John sitting there by the fire too, and Peter said to Jesus, and what shall this man do? Well, you told me what I have to do, what's going to come my way, Jesus, but what about John? Remember what Jesus' answer was? In John 21:22, Jesus saith unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. What he's telling Peter is, listen, Peter, I am your Savior. I died for you. And by the way, at the judgment seat of Christ, Peter, it won't be what John did. It won't be what James did, Peter. It'll be, what did you do? Did you do what I called you to do, Peter? Did you witness to the people I called you to witness to? Did you do those kind deeds to those people that I gave you the opportunity to do those to? Did you return that kind word that I gave you the opportunity to do? Did you forgive that person that I gave you the opportunity to do, Peter? See, that's the way it's going to be for each one of us individual believers at the judgment seat of Christ. Romans 14:12. So then every one of us shall what? Give account of himself to God. We'll all have to do that. We'll all have to do that. In Galatians 6:4, the scripture says, let every man prove his own work. Then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. You see, if you and I judge ourselves and we are yielding to God, and as best we know, we are walking with God and we are using those opportunities God gave us, that's where joy comes, when we're yielding. When we know that we're not, you know, willfully walking and blatantly walking out of the will of God, walking with him. But let a man examine himself, 1 Corinthians 11:28. And so we see that everyone must bear his own burden, and has to do with our work in life, what we do, what has been done in this body. You see, we ought to all be able to plant water and reap and sow when that time comes. By the way, if you don't know how to take your Bible and show someone how to be saved and how to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, you ought to learn that as a believer. You should know that. You should know how to show someone in the Bible how to be saved, because that opportunity may come your way. And when it does, God would expect you in your body to do that. Amen. And we ought to be learning and growing in that manner, and laboring together in that. We inviting people to church. You've been here long enough. You know, if we see somebody come into this church that's a visitor that hasn't been here before, they're going to hear the gospel, aren't they? Even if I'm preaching a message to Christians, which I am this morning, we're going to fit the gospel in there somewhere. And so we ought to be laboring for that in every way that we can. Our opportunity is inviting people and doing what we can. We must bear the burden of our work in life, serving God, being that I be the witness God called me to be in my realm and in my world and in my opportunities, and that you be the witness God called you to be in your world, in your realm, and your opportunities. Because that's what Jesus is going to talk to you about at the judgment seat of Christ, each one of us individually. We also see that we must bear the burden of our own woes or our own problems in life. The difficulties that come our way. You know, your difficulties aren't mine, and mine aren't yours. We have, our own problems. In Luke 9:23, Jesus speaking, he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up what? His cross and follow me. By the way, didn't our Lord bear much suffering for us? He did. He had his cross to fulfill the Father's will, didn't he? By the way, his cross was to bear our sins. That's not my cross. I can't bear your sins. I can't bear my own sins, much less somebody else's. His cross that he willingly picked up was to bear your sins and my sins. And when we live as Christians, we must recognize that when sorrows and difficult times come into our lives, that is a part of the cross that God wants us to bear. And we need to do that under the power of the Spirit, amen? And bear that cross, whatever it might be. The Apostle Paul had his thorn in the flesh, didn't he? In 2 Corinthians 12:7, Paul writes, "Lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations." He was given a lot of scriptural knowledge. He'd seen a lot of visions and had been given a lot of scriptural knowledge. Lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations. There was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Many people believe that he had an eyesight problem. That's personally what I believe. Whatever it was, he had a problem. It was given to him, and it was his burden. And he says there was given to me, given to me. See, that was one of Paul's burdens that he had to bear. And we read how well he bore that. He prayed three times, just like Christ in the garden. He prayed three times, and what was God's answer? "My grace is sufficient for thee." He didn't say, "My grace will be sufficient for thee." He said, "My grace is sufficient for thee." And I want you to know, in your burden, whatever it is in your life right now, it's not that Christ's grace will be sufficient for you. It's that his grace, what? Is sufficient for you and I. And he wants me to look to him to help me bear that burden that I have. And he wants you to look to him to help you bear that burden that you have. The woes in life that come our way are a part of this, of our own burden that we must bear. We have some couple of blue sheets back there. They're kind of folded up back on the table back there. Some of you might have noticed them, and we'll probably be taking those. I forget whose they are, but taking them somewhere. But we had a little while where we were trying to make some things work better for the deaf interpreting in our church. And so what we had to do was we were working on the background. In the church on the south side, the walls were pretty much the same color as this. And so as our deaf interpreter, my dear wife is up there interpreting. Her hands, many times there wasn't enough contrast between her hands, you know, and the wall. Hard to see. Hard to pick out. So we talked with some of the deaf and such, and ended up what? That's why these curtains are up here. Ended up getting a darker background. So that as she signs, that the signing and the preaching would be more clear, because her hands would stand out against that darker background. And you know, Jesus is trying to show his glory through your life and my life. And many times the world can't see him until he brings us in the midst of the dark background of trials and troubles. And as my trials and troubles come in my life, and as your trials and troubles come in your life, and yet you live for Jesus through them, you know what the world sees? The world's able to see the light of Christ more clearly. Because anybody can rejoice when we're on the mountaintop. But for some reason, you have hope when you're in the storm. For some reason, you haven't lost it when something fell through, you know, maybe a financial, maybe it's a physical problem, maybe it's a family problem, something happens and you haven't lost hope. And somehow you have a strength that the world doesn't know without Christ. and the light and the love and the power of Christ shines through our lives even greater, in a sense, because of the contrast. We're going through that trial, and we accept our woes. You know, we're all going to have problems. But no Christian ought to be, you know, I've said this before, and one preacher I listen to often uses this phrase, no Christian ought to be chief rain cloud. Yeah. Well, you go up to somebody, and you're afraid to ask them how they're doing, because they're going to tell you. Oh, they'll start with a little toe, and they'll go all the way up the top of their head about all the pains that they've had and suffered with, you know, for so long. Well, I know we all have problems and pains and struggles, but listen, can't we glorify God through them? I mean, yes, we can. One of the evangelists that I like to listen to, and many of you know who he is, Sam Gipp. I listened to him for years preaching before I knew that he had a broken back. He'd never mentioned it preaching. And I thought, wow, there's somebody that's bearing a burden for the glory of the Lord. You see, and by the way, that's his burden, isn't it? But you know what? He's bearing it well, isn't he? See, we need to bear our burdens well before the Lord. That's part of our testimony. That's how through his grace we shine. And just a little instruction in how we can bear our burdens well. We need to walk with God, amen. We need to walk with God all the time. It's easier to bear the burdens that come in your life when you're walking in God's will. I think about that. We often hear the phrase, lift with your legs. When you're moving heavy objects. I'm sure Brother Charles hears that at work. We've all heard that at work. There's a couple ways you can pick something up. You know, you can kind of bend over with your body like a rainbow here and pick that heavy thing up. Or you can do what? You can do this. Bend straight down. Keep your back straight. Bend down. Pick it up and stand up. Now, why is that the right way to pick something up? Well, first of all, because you're using your legs. They are the strongest limbs on your body. And then also you're keeping what? Your back straight. And your spine can support a lot more weight when it's straight. That's when you're upright. That's the way that you are made to bear a burden. Your body is made when your spine is in line and you're using your legs. That's when you can bear the heaviest burden and not get hurt. And you know what, believer? When your life is upright with God, that's when you can bear that burden. That's when you'll find the strength that God wants you to have to bear that burden that he has allowed to come in your life and in my life. Psalm 19:13. David prays, keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright and shall be innocent from the great transgression. Psalm 7 and verse 10 says, my defense is of God, which saveth the upright in heart. David said, I want to be kept from presumptuous sins. Know what that means? Oh, I can do this. It'll be all right. Yeah, everybody slips up once in a while. Well, presume that I won't get into trouble just sinning here a little bit. I don't have to get this sin right in my life. After all, other people aren't doing what they should be doing either here. That's presumptuous sin. I just recently put up an electric fence around our arborvitae trees in our yard. The deer, I think, ate. They were touching before the trees had grown together and made a nice hedge before this winter. Now there is as much as a foot between those trees where the deer have eaten them. Everything I've tried from the county to pour on those trees and everything, nothing has worked. And most of the stuff, it gets washed off after the first rain. So he went to an electric fence. Put that fence around, and Brother Dennis helped me with it. I'd ordered a charger, and Brother Dennis looked at it, and it turns out the new charger that I bought wasn't working. Did everything I could. I was thinking of some connection to the fence, something I did wrong in putting up the fence, and finally we realized it's the charger, it's defective. So I sent it back. Well, in the meantime, I had this electric fence up, and there's no power through it. And so the deer eventually, for a while they stayed away from it, but I did see one day one of them just kind of jumped over the fence a little bit, stood right in between where the trees were, kind of looked around, and then jumped over the other side of the fence on the other side. I thought, oh, they're getting a little bit brave. They're getting used to it. Well, a few days later, the new charger came. And I plugged it in, and the fence works just right. Then I had one big old doe come down. She's in the yard there, and they can sense something about that electric. I don't know what it is. They can sense something about that fence. Because she walked up there, and I never saw a deer stretch out their neck so far. It's out of neck to that fence. And she thought, well, I'll just scoot around this side of it. And she scoot around one side of it in between the shed and the trees, and she brushed it. And of course, I'm observing this from the house in the living room out the window. And just as she brushed that fence, she disappeared. She jumped straight up in the air and to the right behind the shed. I have a big old wood pile there. I imagine landed on top of the wood pile. Why? She presumed she'd be okay. It worked before and she didn't get shocked. But what happened this time? This time she got shocked. And now they stay away from it. We ought to stay away from sin, amen. We may get away. We may think we get away with once or twice. Listen, you never get away with sin. You never get away with sin. We ought to stay away from it. And listen, it's when we're upright and walking with God is when we'll find the strength that we need to bear that burden. Woe be to the man, the woman, who's backslidden and that burden hits. It makes it all the harder. We want that strength. We want to walk with God, have that strength to bear that burden. David prayed in Psalm 51:12, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me," there is that strength, "with thy free spirit." He had sinned against God and he wanted to get it right. You see, the joy of the Lord is your strength. And when we're not walking with God, what? We lose that strength. Nehemiah said in Nehemiah 8:10, "The joy of the Lord is your strength." And so when we are in fellowship with God, we have that joy and what? And we have that strength to bear whatever burden it is that God would bring into our life. We must bear our own burdens. Secondly, we must bear as believers one another's burdens. Look at verse 2 in Galatians 6 here. "Bear ye one another's burden, and so fulfill the law of Christ." What's the law of Christ? Is that we love one another. Love your neighbor. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. We are to bear also not only our own burden, we are to bear another's burdens. Think about all the one another's in the Bible. How we are supposed to bear one another's burdens, help one another. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24, we are to consider one another. I wonder how they're doing spiritually. I wonder how I could be a help to them. By the way, that's part of why we're supposed to be faithful to come to church. Because Hebrews 10:24 says, "Let us" what? "Consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but" what? Here's another one. "Exhorting one another." Amen. "And so much the more as you see the day approaching." That's why we gather faithfully to church. So we can consider one another and exhort one another. Picking up each other's burdens. Comforting one another. 2 Corinthians 1:4. The Bible says, "God comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble." See, whatever trouble you've been through and God helped you. Whatever trouble I've been through and God helped me. Guess what we can do? I can comfort people that had the same problem that I did. You can comfort people that have a similar trial that you have with the same strength and comfort that God gave you. Bearing one another's burdens. We are to exhort one another, Hebrews 3:13. We are to be kind to one another, Ephesians 4:32. Tenderhearted, forgiving one another. We are to be forbearing one another. By the way, anybody here perfect? You know, I don't have any flaws, but don't talk to my wife, okay? Now, we've all got flaws, don't we? And you know what the Bible says? Let's deal with it. Still love each other and work together in unity like Brother Dennis was talking about this morning. Forbearing one another, forgiving one another. Colossians 3:16, teaching and admonishing one another. John 13:35, love one to another. You see, we're to be bearing another's burden. Philippians 2:4 says, look not every man on his own things, not just your own life, but every man also on the things of others. How's my brother doing? How's my sister doing? How's somebody in the family of God? Can I help them in some way? Be a blessing to them. Bearing one another's burdens. Brother Charles, I got a couple of buckets back there. Would you bring those up to me, please, sir? Yeah, he did the right technique picking him up. You couldn't see that. He went like this, bent straight down, picked him up. All right. Thank you, Brother Charles. You can sit down right there. That's good. Do you notice how he carried those up here? Brother Charles, you brought those both up at the same time. Wasn't that more weight on you? I mean, it would have been lighter on you if you'd have made one trip with one and then went back and got the other one. But you know why Brother Charles carried both of those? Because it was actually in some way easier. Because the way that we're made, it was easier to have that weight distributed. It was a balance. And so, if you ever carried, those buckets are fairly heavy. If you ever carried a heavy bucket full of something, what's it look like when you only got one? You like this, huh? But when you pick up two, it becomes easier. The burden becomes easier. It's one of those paradoxes of Scripture. Oh, my burden's so heavy. It's so heavy I can't bear it. Then maybe you need to pick up somebody else's too. Because you'll find out. I was waiting outside the school for the orchestra group to come out at Linus Pauling. I take them over to the Franklin School. And a couple of the girls were talking, and one of them had asked if the other was going to, are you going to the... someplace they were playing, some event. And the girl said, no, we can't go. I can't go to that one on that date. And the other girl said, why? She said, because my little sister is having heart surgery on that day. And so I asked her, how old is your sister? I think she said 6 months or something like that. And I began to pray for that little one and that family. And you know what? As I did that, all of a sudden my burdens of the day somehow got lighter. My burdens got lighter. And you know, when we start picking up other people's burdens, we recognize, I have to answer to God for my life. I accept that. That's my burden. But I want to pick up some of your burdens. Tim, I want to pray for you. I want to help you. You want to pray for somebody else. You want to help them. We start picking that up. You know what we find? God made us to live that way, to be balanced that way. God designed us for that in the Christian life. Our burden, our own burdens actually become easier, become lighter when we decide I want to pick up somebody else's burden too. And God does that. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Amen. And we'll find our own burdens. Our own burdens become lighter. Thirdly, we must bear our Savior's burden. We must bear our Savior's burden. Hebrews 13:13. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. What's the Bible talking about there? Well, Matthew 5:11, Jesus says this: blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. When the Bible says that we are to bear our Savior's burden, we are to bear his reproach. If you become a godly Christian, if you become a zealous Christian, I want you to know most of the world is not going to be impressed. There's going to be some name calling. There'll be some talking behind your back and my back. And you know what Jesus said? I know. If they've called the master of the house Beelzebub, what are they going to call you? Bear it. Carry that for me. You see, when you're a Christian, there's no room for pride. Self is dead. That's really one thing that keeps it. We don't want to be, I don't want to be called, I'm worried about being called names. That's pride. They might call you a Bible thumper, a fanatic, a homophobe, because you stand for, by the way, with a right attitude, lovingly, for things of the Bible. You'll still get called the names. And you know what Jesus says, or what the writer of Hebrews says? I want you to bear that. Our Lord bear that. Bear those burdens. Whatever comes with being a godly Christian, bear it. And then finally, we must cast our burdens upon the Lord. We must cast our burdens upon the Lord. Psalm 55:22. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall sustain thee. No, it's not an easy road. No, it's not an easy road. But Jesus walks beside me and brightens my journey and lightens every heavy load. Jesus does that. Commit thy way unto the Lord, Psalm 37:5. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Proverbs 16:3, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Commit it unto the Lord. I used to help my dad do masonry work. He was the mason, I was the laborer. He had the skill. And he built a few buildings with the 8-inch cement blocks. And as I would carry those, it would be the same thing here. You'd carry one in each hand because it's easier than trying to do this number. And so I'd carry it. But whenever we had the truck that brought the cement blocks come, I was glad that it was always put, what? Close to the building. You don't say, well, put it all the way down the other end of the property there, and we'll build the garage on the far end from that. We didn't do that. Thankfully, though, that store of cement blocks was put close, so we didn't have to carry them very far. Probably a little irresponsive if I'd ask Brother Charles, Brother Charles, would you pick up those, would you take those buckets back there and carry them over to your house for me? Might have been a little different story, okay? Yes, we're supposed to pick up, carry our own burden. Yes, we're supposed to carry one another's burdens, but aren't you glad we don't have to carry them very far? We're supposed to carry them where? Right to Jesus. Right to Jesus. I had a day at work the other day at the bus during the winter cold, and when we had the freezes here just a few weeks back, and we went in one morning and I had 4 buses in a row that wouldn't start, couldn't get going. I ended up being like an hour late for my bus route. I was the only, everybody else was fine. And you know what? I'm glad I didn't have to go far with that burden. All I had to do was say, Jesus, help me. Because I wanted to be a witness. I didn't want to lose my temper and get discouraged. And God helped me with that. Aren't you glad we don't have to carry him far? We bring him right to Jesus. Amen. Lord, help. That's a wonderful prayer when you mean it. Amen. I can't tell you how many times I pray that, Lord, help me. Lord, give me wisdom. Lord, give me grace. And that's all it takes. He knows us. He knows our every need. He's right there. And we can cast our burdens on him. Why? Because he cares. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. We need to cast our burden upon him. Why? Because he comforts. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. We can cast our burdens upon him because he carries. He carries them. 2 Timothy 4:17, the Apostle Paul's talking about being in prison. Everybody forsook him. And he says, notwithstanding, what did he say? The Lord stood with me and strengthened me. Jesus picked up that burden. You see, the Bible and our burdens. Our burdens come for a reason. By the way, when Paul got that burden, he said, and lest I should be exalted above measure, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. See, that burden had a purpose. Paul might have become too proud. Maybe that's what that means. Maybe other people would have exalted Paul too much if he didn't have that burden. But that burden served a purpose. And Paul recognized that. He committed it to the Lord. What did Christ say? I'm not taking it away, Paul. My grace is sufficient for you. And you know what? Paul said, most gladly, therefore, where what? I glorify my infirmities. We never heard another mention of that burden from the Apostle Paul in the Scriptures. No more whining. No more begging to take it away. God gave him his answer. Now, I'm not saying he was whining to begin with. He was earnest, asking God. Nothing wrong with asking God to take something away, but he might not. And when he doesn't, he'll give you the strength to bear that. And when he does, glorify God in that. And Paul went on to say, most gladly, therefore, will I glory in my infirmities. If I have to suffer this, it'll make your glory greater in my life, God, then you'll give me the strength to suffer it. And I'll glorify your name in that. What a blessing. What a blessing. You see, it's what James said. Count it all what? Joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Why? Because we can be strengthened by God to glorify His name through that. He may take it away, He may not. But regardless, He'll be with us. We can bear our burdens. We need to be ready for the judgment seat of Christ. We can bear others' burdens. It'll help our own. It'll help our own, make our own easier. We can bear the burden of Christ. Just be a godly believer. Swallow the pride and let Him call the names. And we can take every one of those burdens, what? Immediately to Christ. Immediately to Christ. And in so doing, that's how we'll glorify God through our burdens. That's what the Bible says about our burdens. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You so much today for Your word. And dear God, so many in the Bible that we read about. These were people with real lives just like ours, and we read about the heavy burdens that so many of them faced, even You Yourself, precious Lord. And yet we have seen that by Your help, so many walked through those things and glorified Your name. Yes, sadly, there were many who were overcome by them, who didn't learn to cast those things upon You. God, help us not to go down that path. Help us to trust You. Help us with Your power and Your grace to bear whatever burden it is You have put in our lives, and to trust that You will be glorified through that. In that dark trial, with Your strength in our life, Your light will shine through us. And others will see You when maybe they wouldn't have if we didn't have that burden. Help us in these things, dear Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.